Hi, good afternoon, and welcome to the Daisy Take. I'm your host, Daisy Elizabeth, and I know I say good afternoon because this morning I was having technical difficulties, so I could not put out the podcast at 9 o'clock. I do apologize. Maybe if you're waiting for it to come out and it never came out, I do apologize for that. Internet was down, just a whole bunch of issues that were going on. But I think everything is fixed now, so you know, what are we going to do without the internet when it crashes one day, right? Well, you know, obviously I haven't thought that far ahead, but you know, maybe one day I will. So I wanted to thank you. I'm your host, Daisy Elizabeth, and I want to welcome you here. If you're new here, hi, and I hope that you hit that subscribe button. Or click that check mark and never miss an episode. And if you've been listening, thank you so much. I appreciate you and thank you for sticking with me. And once again, I apologize for today, just technical difficulties. And you know what happens? It really does. You think that everything just goes so smooth and then, you know, one day you wake up and bam, you know, just nothing works. Information for today's podcast comes from archive.org, Hollywood Mysteries and Scandals, wikiwan.com, that's funny, nostalgiccentral.com, and peteduel.info. This episode contains subject matters that may be sensitive to some listeners. Listener discretion is advised. So Peter Duell, have you ever heard of him? I never heard of him before. He played on Gidget. He played on a Western, like different things like that. I never heard of him until I started looking up different mysteries and scandals from Hollywood. This one really caught my eye because this guy is not only good looking, just like had the world at his feet. He was an environmentalist before it was even like a thing to be an environmentalist. He was just one of those men that you look at and go, wow, he's beautiful. You know, he's good looking. So Peter Duell was born on February 24th, 1940. He died December 31st, 1971. Now, he was known professionally as Pete Duell. And he was on American stage, television, and film actor. And he was best known for his starring role as outlaw Hannibal Hayes, alias Joshua Smith, in the TV series Alias Smith and Jones. Now, I never heard it before, but I did look it up, and I thought it was pretty interesting for back in the day. He was born in Rochester, New York, and the eldest of three children. And he was born to Dr. Ellsworth and Lillian Duell. His brother, Jeffrey Duell. Now, when Peter spelled his name, he spelled it D-E-U-L. But his name was actually spelled D-E-U-E-L. So for, you know, Hollywood, you know, for the sake of Hollywood, he just shortened his name a little bit. Now, Jeffrey was also an actor, best known for his role in Chisholm and numerous episode television appearances of the 1960s and 70s. Their sister's name was Pamela. And I didn't really look up too much on Pamela. I'm not really sure what kind of career she had, or if she got married, she had children, or if she was in the business as well. This just was basically on Pete Duell that I was looking up. Now, he attended high school and he worked on the yearbook and he campaigned for student government and was a member of the National Thespian Society. And he graduated in 1957. He attended college, St. Lawrence University in Canton, New York. And he majored in English. And he was a member of Phi Sigma Kappa fraternity. Now, he preferred performing drama to the department's production, studying his classes during the years that he was there. He really loved the thought of acting, you know. And he was doing productions when his father came to see him in The Rose Tattoo. He realized not only that his son was wasting his time and money at university, he told him to follow a career in acting. He's like, look, son, you're wasting my time. You're wasting my money. Go for it. Because you got a gift. You need to go chase your dream. So he moved to New York City. What does every actor do? They go to New York City. And he landed a role in a touring production of a comedy, Take Her, She's Mine. To find work in the movies, Pete and his mother drove across country to Hollywood, California in 1963 with only a tent to house them each night. Now, in Hollywood, he found work in television, making small guest appearances, Gomer Pyle and Channing, Combat, Bonanza. And he was also in Gidget, okay, as Gidget's brother-in-law, John Cooper, and he appeared in 22 of the show's 32 episodes. I found that very interesting because I did find a little comment where Sally Field, and I'll get to it in a moment, but, you know, I really found it interesting that he was in Gidget. I mean, this guy, when I saw his picture, never heard of him before. When I saw his picture, I went, wow, that guy is so good looking. There he is, you know. And, you know, it's just sad the way the end of his life turned out. He also appeared in The Psychiatrist, The Bold Ones, Ironside, Marcus Welby, M.D., he also made feature films during the time, beginning with The Hell with Heroes in 1968, playing Rod Taylor's best friend, co-pilot Mike Brewer. Sorry. Followed next year by Generation. After that, he went to Spain to make Canon for Cordoba. And that was in 1970. A Western in which he played a mischievous soldier, Andy Rice. Now, in 1970, Pete was cast as an outlaw, Hannibal Hayes, alias Joshua Smith, opposite Ben Murphy's Kid Curry in Alias Smith and Jones. Now, this was a lighthearted Western about the exploits of outlaws, trying to earn their amnesty, you know, during, you know, times when it was hard to do that, you know, when they were on the run. He starred in the television production Percy MacKaye's 1908 play The Scarecrow. That seems kind of like a spooky one. I don't know. But when I read that and I saw that it was The Scarecrow, I'm like, ew. So, yeah, this guy seemed like he was so much fun. He was so energetic. He, like, had it all together. But the sad thing is I think mentally he didn't. Nobody knows what's behind and going on behind the doors. They just know what they see in front of them. Now, according to Quentin Tarantino, Pete was one of the inspirations for the character Rick Dalton in the Once Upon a Time in Hollywood film. In Tarantino's novelization of the movie, Duell and Dalton worked together, enjoyed each other's company, and were both undiagnosed bipolar. Now, I had heard that. I had heard that before. That when Quentin Tarantino made that movie, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, that he did, you know, base Rick Dalton's character off of somebody who was actually in real life. Now, I didn't know it was Peter Duell. until I started looking at this case because he was a virtual unknown to me. I had no idea who this guy was. But I found it so fascinating that if you look up different pieces of Hollywood and different actors and different actresses, there is a lot of good ones that you would never even know today. Okay, so in the early hours of Friday, New Year's Eve, 1971, Pete died in his Hollywood Hills home of a self-inflicted gunshot wound. His girlfriend, Diane Ray, was at his home at the time of his death and discovered his body. Ray later told police that the couple had watched a series of, you know, Alias and Smith and Jones. She later went to sleep in another room while Pete stayed up. Sometime after midnight, Pete entered the bedroom, retrieved his revolver, and told her, "I'll see you later." Then she said she heard a gunshot from another room and discovered his body. And according to police, Pete's friends and family said he was depressed and had a drinking problem. His drug of choice was not drugs. It was alcohol. Okay, it was alcohol. He had been arrested and pleaded guilty to driving under the influence. An accident that injured two people. And later on, Pete's death was ruled a suicide. I really find that interesting because I think that he did intend to kill himself. Just from what I'm reading and gathering, you know, it was a thing. You know, he went and got the gun. He said, "I'll see you later." Can you imagine? This one guy that you're totally in love with, maybe you had your ups and downs, maybe you had your fights, but you're in love with this man. He walks in the bedroom, he gets his gun, he says, "I'll see you later." Now, that's really sad, but it would have made the hair stand on end. I think I would have gotten out of the bed and said, "Wait a minute, what the hell are you doing?" But I don't know. Who knows? Who knows what you're going to do in that situation, you know? Now, his funeral was held at Self-Realization Fellowship, and that's a temple, okay, on January 2nd, 1972. His girlfriend, Diane Ray, read a poem titled Love, and an estimated 1,000 friends and fans attended. Then his body was flown to Pennyfield, New York, where he was buried in Oakwood Cemetery. Smith and Jones was taken over by Roger Davis, who was previously a narrator for the opening theme of the show. And the loss of Pete proved too great for the series, so it was canceled in early 1973. Like, he's the one that kept that series going, and I really believe that. And really, to outsiders, it seemed like Pete Doyle had everything to live for. He had a loving girlfriend, he had a nice home, he had money, and a hit TV series. Yet, shortly after 1:25 a.m. on the 31st of December, 1971, this talented, handsome actor killed himself. I have so many thoughts on suicide. I really do. And I don't want to say them because I don't actually know what's going on in a person's mind right before they do it. Is that their last resort? Sally Field from Gidget loved Peter. He played her brother-in-law on Gidget. She said, "I loved Pete. Loved him, loved him, loved him. Pete was just Pete. God bless him and God damn him. Because he isn't alive, he killed himself." And I think when I saw that interview on YouTube, it looks like she had tears. Like, all these many years later, this one man touched her so deeply that it still brought her to tears. And he was an environmentalist, 20 years ahead of his time. He liked to picnic far from civilization, but always tried to leave the countryside tidier than when he arrived, you know? He signed autographs. More often than not, he would, you know, put a signature on the autograph that said, "Peace and Ecology Now." Pete was a typical man of the 60s. However, he found that release in alcohol, not drugs. And I guess the night or the previous night, he drank a lot, and it led to an argument with Diane. And that's when he walked in the bedroom. So I guess they were in love, but they had their issues. And, you know, they loved each other, but they also probably were stubborn, strong-headed. And she was probably in love with him, you know? I think that, I think it's very sad. You know, she found him lying nude in front of the Christmas tree. The .38 revolver was by his side, and blood was oozing from his right temple. I mean, that's something, isn't it? You know, your boyfriend, probably the love of her life, and he says to her, "I'll see you later." And she finds him dead in front of the Christmas tree with a gunshot wound to the temple. Merry Christmas, right? So, his business manager, everybody loved this man, and I don't know what his issues were. Maybe he was bipolar, maybe he was depressed, maybe he was clinically depressed, you know, maybe he just walked to the beat of his own drummer, you know. His business manager said, "I'll never forget the early morning about 4 a.m. one summer when Pete stood in the front of my home, barefoot in blue jeans, looking over the vast valley stretching far into the distance." He began in a loud, strong, beautiful voice to recite Hamlet. That's beautiful. That's beautiful right there, you know. When he came near the end of the speech, the sun began to peek its brilliant head over the nearby mountain, as if to pay tribute to a fine performance. "I love you, son," he yelled. And we broke into gales of laughter. Neighbors be damned, it was a happy time. And there were many happy times like that. That's beautiful. God, that is really beautiful. So there was obviously a lot of people who loved this man, and he had a talent. And I can't say anything about suicide because everything I want to say is probably not in its proper form. He obviously had his demons and they won. So I'll say a little prayer for Peter Dole, and I hope he's found peace. And I got to tell you, every time I talk about somebody that I don't know, a little piece of their spirit stays with me. It's like I have all these notes in a notebook. I have all these notes on my phone. And I'll never forget Peter Dole. Now that I found him, I'll never forget him. That brown hair, brown-eyed man who everybody loved, that committed suicide and shot himself in the head. So I hope he's found peace. I want to thank you for joining me today on the Daisy Take, and I hope that you have a wonderful weekend. Join me for Murdered and Missing Monday on Monday. Be kind to one another. Love you. Bye.